What a blessing we've had already, singing, praising. And it's an opportunity here to have Mr. Sarubin come. He is a missionary to Sri Lanka, and his dad has started 47 churches in there. And this morning, you remember Sarubin and his wife came before, and his wife shared her testimony, and he does have some video pictures. We did not do this last time because I didn't have a setup that will show you some of the persecution, and I don't know how graphic it is. I'm a little nervous, but just understand what you're about to see. And he's going to be explaining what he's trying to do with youth camps. And Sarubin's mission, from what I've gathered talking with him, with these youth camps, is to share the gospel. It is evangelistic in nature, sharing the gospel and getting those kids in churches with local pastors, okay, which is very important. And I'll get him up. Matt, can you go outside? There's people with ice chests and fishing boats in the parking lot. Just kind of make sure that I'm sorry. I didn't want to interrupt to do that, but there was no way. There's people walking. They've been doing it all morning, and I don't know if this was the meeting point to go fishing or what, but they've been out in the parking lot back and forth all morning. So anyway, didn't mean to distract you. Now our focus can be in here. I just want to make sure that our vehicles are all good. So Sarubin, would you come on up, and let's give him a hand. Make him feel welcome. Appreciate you, brother. All right.
Good morning. Wow. It's nice to be back in this church with Pastor Brett and Sister Diana and the congregation. Thank you, Pastor Brett, for giving me this opportunity once again. Last time I was with my wife, and she's back at home. Anyway, I was in a short visit, and whenever I come to America, I make sure that churches will know about the persecution in Sri Lanka and in India. So how I got to know Pastor Brett is through Brother Preston, Rebecca and Sarah's father. I'm so sorry that, he went to be with the Lord, but one thing that we know that we will see him again, amen. In Sri Lanka, for the past 45 years, my dad has been pastoring and doing the ministry in the northern part of Sri Lanka. And there he has planted 47 churches by God's grace. And 47 churches are in the north of suburbs of Sri Lanka, where the war happened for 30 years and ended in 2009, May 19th, killing about 150,000 Sri Lankans. As a result of a war, we have 90,000 widows and a lot of orphans and disabled. Among them, we are doing our ministry. And past 2014, like past few years ago, the persecution started. And then we thought, okay, we don't want this president. And then we voted in the new president in 2015. And when he came from 2015 up to today, there had been 195 church attacks. And church attacks are not like here, they come and they really destroy the church. If they catch pastor alive, they will beat the pastor until he bleeds, or they make sure, sometimes they have killed some pastors too. So it's not a normal persecution there. They come with knives, rods, staffs, stones, and they throw into churches. They just break everything that they could and then make the damages and then go off. So keep us in your prayers. Especially I would like to tell Pastor Britt, I will give a fax number or email ID of the president of Sri Lanka. So if you all can write and then sign, all of you all, but don't put my name, right? Please. Yeah, I'll send a link to the persecution in YouTube, so you just make sure, or the TV like website, and you see that, you make sure that you saw that, and then you're writing as a church to stop this persecution in Sri Lanka. It will be very helpful, for us, because there are more and more persecution happening. A lot of churches have been destroyed. But still, we are continuing the ministry in all those areas. Southern part pastors have been much persecuted, but they have started the house churches in Acts, you know, and the churches are growing very much. And keep us in your prayers, and looking forward to, you know, seeing you all one day in Sri Lanka. Hope that Pastor Brett will bring a team of members, missions, and then, you know, serve in Sri Lanka for, you know, at least a couple of days and come back. So inviting you as a church and, you know, for the mission field in the nation of Sri Lanka. So think about it and then pray about it. Let's see what happens. And my main ministry is among, you know, Sri Lankans who are displaced around the whole world. Because of the war, except in America, I think there are a few Sri Lankans. I don't know, just about 0.1 or some Sri Lankans that have been come to Sri Lanka because of war. But in Canada, they are flooded. In Toronto as well as in Scarborough, if you go, all Sri Lankans are there. Sweden, France, Holland, Norway, German, Belgium, Brussels, you name all the Europe, London, they are all flooded because of war, because they wanted to save their lives, so they came in. The good part is that they came in as Hindus, and right now they are pastors. Amen. Most of them have accepted Jesus Christ and become pastors, and they are returning back to Sri Lanka to their, you know, people, and saying that Jesus is the only living God. When you take Hinduism, they worship 333 million gods. How many million gods? Come on, you did it. Cow is a god for them. Snake is a god for them. Rat is their god's, you know, travel vehicle, something. Cobra, they worship cobra, you know, snakes. And cobra is God for them. Just imagine 333 million gods. And one particular god, they say, that has only power to drink the blood. So one god just hangs out the tongue. So you can see the image. It hangs out the tongue. So it's known as blood-sucking god. So just imagine when they try to worship cobras and blood-sucking gods, when they come into a, you know, crusade or a church, they started to fall down and manifest like snakes. They just roll and they go like snakes. Even the youngsters, you know, when I'm ministering, when the power of God falls, they cannot. They were just moving, and then try to, you know, be like snakes. Sometimes they vomit blood. And then they come as, like, you know, family and get saved. So God is moving in the nation of Sri Lanka by families. They are getting saved, because witchcraft is also another challenge that we are doing ministry with, you know. They do a lot of witchcraft to destroy one family against another family. So they go to doctors, they go to, you know, their religious priests, they bind, you know, some threads in their hands. So if you see a Sri Lankan or an Indian binding the threads in a color format, like black color or red color or white color, and they will have small knots over it. So they say, like, to protect them, they go and they do that knots, and then small knots are like small demons or gods. They say, we know it's demons, just to protect them, like, for safety. So all these things, when they come, you know, we sometimes, until we cut the thing off, they start manifesting, you know. Those are the deep things that is going in the nation of Sri Lanka. Just pray that Sri Lanka will be washed by the blood of Jesus, because just 50 years old with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think America is 200 years old, or more than 200 years old, with the gospel. And I'm thankful for American, you know, people who have sent us all the missionaries and, you know, brought us the gospel from your nation to there. So I'm very grateful for this country, because of y'all, we got the gospel and know the truth. And now, right now, we are trying to tell the truth, and they are asking us, don't bring white people's God into our midst. That is their statement. So these are the challenges that we are facing in the nation of Sri Lanka. And my wife and I, you know, last time she shared a testimony. She was dead for 1 hour inside the water in a boat accident. And an angel of the Lord came and rescued her. You know, about this, that's in a nutshell. I don't want to tell that. Like last time, she in person came and shared a testimony. And a dead body's in the papers. And, you know, she was going through these missions and it all happened. And only she survived. The two didn't come back to life. So God had a purpose in her life. That's what I think. God brought her back to life. So this is like nutshell of our ministry and what we are doing. And I have like, you know, a daughter. Her name is Sheena. They're right now in India while I'm here. And then my father is a pastor. My mother is in charge of widows ministry and women's ministry. I have an elder sister who is a Sunday school teacher and a trainee. My elder brother is a social worker where he is connected with June Hunt Ministries and Hope for the Heart Ministries, where he goes into the villages with a team and then brings people to the church and then hands over them to the local pastors there. And then my younger brother is a worship leader. So as Joshua said, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, all of us in the ministry by God's grace. And I am traveling to these nations to strengthen the church of God, you know, churches where our people are scattered in those nations, as I told you, in Europe and London. And especially when I come to America, I make sure that churches are knowing what we are going through about the persecution in Sri Lanka. So that's my main intention, that I come here and say, raise some support to support our pastors and, you know, some of the missionaries who are working with us in the ministry field in the northern part of Sri Lanka. So let's close our eyes in prayer for the word of God. Father, we thank you. We know that your Spirit of God is here, Lord, and we thank you for this church and all the congregation who are gathered here, Lord. You speak to us, and we give you the praise and honor. In the name of Jesus do we pray. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the books of Acts, if you have. I just wanted to you know, talk to you about Acts chapter 1, verse 12 to 26. Hurry up and wait. That is my topic today with you all. Hurry up and wait. So, when you see all these verses from 12 to 26 in Acts chapter 1, when Jesus died and he was taken up, he said, "You'll wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured upon you." And they waited in the upper room, and they were waiting. So hurry up and wait. Always, I tell the church, you know, now it's always, you know, drive through, you know, things that is happening in churches or fast foods, like fast. Everything should in the church should go fast and drive throughs. You know, sometimes we forget to wait. Even in our lives, in the ministry or, you know, business, or it should flow fast. The cash should flow fast. The money should come in fast. The believer should come in fast. Church should have a growth fast. But God's word is very clear upon waiting. Wait and see that, you know, I'm your God, the Bible says. Amen. And then waiting is a process. That we, when we wait, we will see the miracles of God in our life. So as they were heeding to the word of God, God said, "Go and wait until the Holy Spirit is poured upon you." And the first thing that they did was, like, you know, then they returned, verse 12 says, to Jerusalem from Mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. So when Jesus said, "Go and wait," they obeyed. The first step for a blessing in our life is obedience. When we are obeyed to the word of God and the will of God, God will give and He will bless us with His promises. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So when we obey the word of God, there's a great blessing in our life. Even when we obey the words of pastors and leaders who are higher authoritative, like beyond us, that God has kept, even father, mother, brothers, sisters, deacons, elders, pastors, when we listen to them, our life is going to be awesome. Amen. So they were, whatever the Lord said to them, Jesus said to them to wait, they were obedient for it. So first life lesson that we could learn from here, from verse 12, is the obedience. Disciples were very obedient to the voice of God. And the second thing is that we see, as we read on, verse 13, like middle part, you know, middle of the word, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon, the zealot, and Judas, the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication. First, they obeyed. And second, what did they do? They prayed. Amen. Prayer is a powerful weapon. How many of you all believe that? Prayer is a powerful weapon. We have weapons from the Lord. We have main two weapons. It's like, I would call it like nuclear and atom bombs. One is prayer, one is the word of God. Amen. So second, thing that they handled was, first they obeyed, second they prayed. Amen. When they were praying and seeking the face of the Lord, lot of things happen in their life. How many of you say an amen? When we pray, we can see the hand of God moving in our life. I tell you, for 30 years from when I was small, I was praying for the peace in the nation of Sri Lanka. And God granted at last, after 30 years, the peace in the nation of Sri Lanka. Yes, we have death. We had a lot of, life gone. We had in return, we had a lot of widows and orphans. But we had an answer by God's grace. And it ended. You know, war is not an easy thing, as you have known in the past. It just was going everywhere. You know, the suicide bombers would come into the cities. They would blow up themselves. And it was not easy to take the war, lightly. It's very serious, because sometimes we won't hear from our parents. We were studying in Colombo, and we won't hear from our parents for at least a month or 4 weeks or 3 weeks. What is going wrong there? Because the whole thing will be stopped and they will be fighting the war. And then we will hear the news that Sri Lankan army, about 1,500 are dead. 500 are dead. 2,000 are dead. Near our church, there were 2,000. They nearly bought 1,900, 2,000 dead bodies of army soldiers. And then it was just about 0.5 miles away from our church in a place, and they were just putting all those bodies. And that smell came to our church, because it was like the 2,000 dead bodies, just imagine. And they put them the petrol and they burnt the bodies all. So this happened in 90s. So we have been seeing what is war, how people were dying, and but God's purpose and plan was there in our life. That God, it's a pure grace that God has kept us alive. Once myself and my brother, we were going to our math class, and it was an extra tuition class, and suddenly the sir comes after the putting the equation on the board. He comes out and says, "Shantan and Saruban," that's my brother's name is Shantan, my name is Saruban, "pack your bags and run, because the bomb has gone." Because bomb, like, we were writing the equation from the board into our books, and the building was shaking. Doom. That's it. So we, after he came, he told, we put the books inside the bags, and we were running for life. So, but still, it was a pure grace of God that God has kept us alive. And then whenever they, you know, come to attack us, we just pray and seek the word of the Lord and meditate upon the word of the Lord. The third thing that the disciples were doing is, from verse 15 to verse 20, they were meditating upon the word of God. See, in those days Peter stood in the midst of the disciples altogether, number of names was about 120, and said, "Men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled." And he was telling what had to be fulfilled, and it goes in verse 20, "For it is written in the books of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Therefore, of these men," all these, you know, words he's preaching. So first they obeyed the word of God to stay in one place to receive the Holy Spirit. Secondly, they prayed. Third rules they followed is they studied the word of God. Amen? Can I hear an amen? Amen? One more amen. Hallelujah. So God was there in the word. Bible says, "You shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free." I'm going to show you some of the videos right now, and then I'm going to get back to the last point. And these videos should be sometimes disturbing, but I have to show you because I need your prayers to Sri Lanka and India. God is moving mightily. We won't give up. You know, the persecution won't stop us. I have to tell you this, like, one of these pastors, both of pastors I'm going to show you in the video are taken to courts by the Buddhist monks. Do you believe that Buddhist monks will persecute churches? When I tell this to, you know, American pastors and, you know, leaders, and, you know, when I tell to church, they say, "Buddhist monks? They are known as, they are known for their peace, right?" And you will see here what they are doing. They are really, really angry, and they are going against their religion. And it is a good thing for us to give the gospel, because they are not practicing what they are preaching. You get my point. They are for peace, of course, yes. They preach peace. But when they come out in, you know, television, and then they do these kinds of acts, it's very questionable for they themselves in their community, why our leaders in the priests in the Buddhist community are doing these kinds of things. And then it's easy for us to love them, because our God said, what? Love your neighbors, right? As yourself. So we never attacked them. So they took these pastors into the courts, and I was there in the courts. Myself, the two pastors, lawyer, and one more, the head pastor of that, you know, union in the church, you know, community. But they were with a lot of, you know, crowd. Nearly they had about 70 people with them, with a lot of Buddhist monks walking hereby, thereby. But we five people, like, you know, we were five, just put out the lawyer. We were four servants of God there. We felt like 4,000 people were standing together, because the Holy Spirit was there. The angels of the Lord was there. And at last, the case went for 2 years, and the Buddhist monks pleaded coming pastors to withdraw the case. Pastor said, "I didn't put the case, court case for you all. You all did put. If you all withdraw, I will withdraw." So at last they withdraw the case. So pastor, withdraw the case, that's all. Because they took us to courts, and they didn't do anything. So I'm just going to show you a couple of church attacks. They're all like dead because of the sake of the gospel. Because of God. Because the gospel has been preached. So this is already happening right now while I'm talking in India and Sri Lanka. And they don't want Christians anymore. They don't want. By 2022, one guy says he will wipe off all the Christians from the nation of India. But in 2022, I don't know, everything will be saved and everybody will be changed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. That's what we believe. We want your prayers for this. And the last thing they did was like the disciples, they confirmed God's purpose in their lives. See, when Judas was gone, they had to vote in another guy. And the vote fell into Matthias, you know, place. So they obeyed, they prayed, they studied the word, and they confirmed God's purpose in their lives. Amen. Even the 400 nuns were raped and abused in front in the roads in India. 400 nuns. Just imagine, in a day, 400 nuns can be raped, and they were just put out to die, and they were naked in the nation of India. 400 nuns. So when it comes to church attacks, they don't see it is Pentecostal or charismatic or mainline churches, Roman Catholic churches, it goes for all. So what I'm saying is, pray for us and uphold us in your prayers. And then one final thing that I would ask you, to write a letter for the Sri Lankan president and then fax it. I'll give the Sri Lankan president's information. I'll hand over to Pastor Brett. And your prayers are very much appreciated. And I think God spoke to you through the word of God. They obeyed. Come in. Can you repeat after me? Obey, obedience, prayers, word of God, confirmation of God's purpose in life. Amen. So how many of you believe that God is in control? Amen. So I would just show you my ministry, and then I'm going to say a last prayer and then hand over to Pastor. I was just doing my ministry and it just came up, and then I cut it off. I want to show you all that I mean, like when I was 13 years old, I was in the stage. I gave my life to Jesus, and then since that time I've been serving the Lord part time. And when tsunami hit Sri Lanka, where we lost hundreds and thousands of lives in the nation of Sri Lanka, as you know, tsunami, I gave and dedicated my life to the Lord to serve full time. And from that time, myself and my wife, we have been traveling together. But since our daughter was born, we just stopped for some, like, you know, 1 or 2 years, and again we started. You know, again we are traveling and telling the gospel, and you know, centering the Church of God in around the world. So as you see, I will go to there will be appearing Singapore house churches. I have gone to Malaysia, Indonesia, and then when you come to Sweden, France, you know, all these places, Canada. We have gone and strengthened the Church of God. And you will see the women's meeting, and you know, there will be a lot of videos where my wife is ministering. And then I would just say a word of prayer and give it to Pastor Brett.